Baby, you understand me now. If sometimes you see that I'm mad, don't you know no one alive can always be an angel? When everything goes wrong, you see something.
Produced at the studios of KBOO Radio in Portland, Oregon, this is Prison Pipeline. I'm Doug McVeigh. Prison Pipeline presents a unique perspective of the criminal justice system, addressing the root causes of crime and broadening understanding of the institution of incarceration. We seek to promote awareness and activism in order to foster a safe, healthy, and just society. The Rebel Academy was created to bring GED instruction and tutoring to students rather than asking students to go to a campus and register for classes. According to its website, the Rebel Academy's mission is to create and deliver meaningful and affordable instruction that empowers our learning community and create living wage tutoring jobs for formerly incarcerated people. To learn more, I'm joined by some folks from Rebel Academy. If I could get you to introduce yourselves to the listeners so that the listeners can place names with voices. And also tell us a bit about yourselves.
My name is Lauren Zavrell. I founded the Rebel Academy earlier this year. I taught GED and high school credit recovery in various prisons for the past 10 or 11 years. And when my prison closed last year, I was laid off. So I decided to continue the work of what I consider heroic work of the incarcerated tutors after release by creating this nonprofit and also providing GED instruction to folks who have really high barriers to access campus classes.
My name is Tim Tipton. I am one of those formerly incarcerated tutors that Lauren speaks of. I met her at the currently decommissioned Large Correction Center back in 2018, where I was technically a tutor, or technically not a tutor. I was a classroom assistant, but the bulk of my work ended up being tutoring. I was part of a four-person cohort that helped author the first tutor training curriculum for people who are incarcerated. And I continued my higher education upon release, as well as tutoring and things like that. So now I work as independent contractor for the Rebel Academy. I'm using my tutor certifications and my training as a tutor to help people who have barriers to learning.
My name is Christopher Randon. I'm also a former teacher's aide that met Lauren at Large Correctional Facility. I met her in 2015, I believe, when she
16.
First started.
16.
Was it 16? Oh, too much credit. 2016. Yeah, it's kind of the same situation as Tim. I was technically a teacher's aide, but the vast majority of everything I did was tutoring. I like to think that I'm a pretty good catalyst of getting her ball rolling as far as the enthusiasm for what she does now. It's in fact so important. That's why, even though I'm only a tertiary board member, I still try to dedicate as much time as I can to the cause, because it's that important. And I'm a dad. It's awesome.
Let's start from the top. What is the Rebel Academy? What's it about?
The Rebel Academy has a twofold mission, as you read in the beginning. There are a lot of students who drop out of high school, and later in life, whether that's immediately after dropping out or in some cases decades later, decide that they need or want a high school credential. And in some states, there is high school credit recovery. There are programs to get a high school diploma. Washington has a really accessible program that I was really proud to be a part of launching at Larch Correction Center. And other states have less accessible programs, like Oregon. There's high school, 21 high school plus, but it's not as accessible as GED instruction is. And most states still use the GED battery of tests. There's four tests, the hardest of which tends to be the math test. So having taught GED and high school credit recovery for about 12 or 13 years as college faculty at various colleges, the biggest barrier is definitely the math test for GED students. And in addition to that, if you're asked to go to a college campus to attend classes, classes at community colleges are seat time based. They are curriculum driven. They are scheduled quarter to quarter or semester to semester in other states. And so if you miss a week of class because a child is sick or your car breaks down or you live in your car or you yourself find that you have a tumor, these are all real world examples from students I've had, you feel like you've fallen behind. And particularly in math, it's really hard to catch up if you're working two jobs or if you're a single parent or you're living in a homeless shelter or you have any number of barriers, in addition to the cognitive barriers and the learning disabilities that the vast majority of high school credit recovery and GED students, at least in my experience, have. And so the Rebel Academy aims to go to students rather than asking students to come to a campus and sign up in what can often be a really intimidating and triggering environment for folks who have a lot of educational trauma and don't necessarily trust institutions of higher education. So that's part of the mission. And then the other part, as we mentioned before, when I first started teaching at Larch Correction Center as faculty of Clark College, Chris was assigned to be my quote unquote classroom assistant or teaching assistant at the time. And I really quickly learned that his work was not really about making copies and filing papers. He was very hands-on and very passionate about intervening with students who were not motivated to learn or who were motivated to learn, but just couldn't grasp the concepts they needed to grasp, particularly in math. And at that time, before COVID, I would have up to 23 students in a room, all of whom had different abilities and disabilities, all of whom had varying levels of motivation, and none of whom needed the exact same things for the test. Some people had already passed two of the tests and only needed the other two. Some people didn't speak English. Some people were 18, some people were in their 60s. So you can imagine the variance in the needs of the students. And for one teacher to be expected to get folks, all of those folks, to pass four tests, in addition to dealing with the pressures and stressors that come with being incarcerated, was a very tall order, which is why our graduation rate at the time was about 15% facility-wide. I saw Chris work miracles. I saw Chris get students to believe in themselves, whereas I, a lady with a badge who would be perceived as an extension of the prison system, couldn't have that effect on a lot of the students. And Chris was so impactful in his work that when he was released in 2018, I figured I had had the privilege of having the best TA ever, and I would never encounter any other human like him, and I was going to be on my own. And I was wrong, because that same year, Tim and the other three tutors that he referenced in the cohort of four arrived that year. And so I went to my supervisor and I said, you know, instead of this model of having one teaching assistant per class, let's hire an army of tutors, and let's call them tutors because that's actually what they're doing. They're not assistants. They are superheroes who are tutoring. So we had Tim and three other guys come in, and my supervisor liked that idea. And so we formed a cadre of tutors, developed a formal program that was the first to become certified by the College Reading and Learning Association for a self-sustaining peer tutoring program in a prison. That got us national attention. We were on the cover of the Columbian twice in June of 2019. Tim was later on the cover of the Columbian later that year when he was released. I got to publish an article about that. We were on Think Out Loud on KOPB that year, Chris, Tim, and I, because they were both out at that time. And so the Rebel Academy also aims to pay tribute and highlight the work of currently incarcerated tutors, because a lot of people just aren't aware that that is a thing. Most correctional facilities, in fact, all that I have ever communicated with, which is many, I'm doing a dissertation on corrections education right now, so I know what I'm talking about. Most use peer tutoring of some sort. And in some cases, like at Columbia River Correctional Institution, they don't even have GED faculty teaching the classes. It's all peer instruction. And so this paradigm of the incarcerated tutoring the incarcerated for little to no pay is a rampant situation across the country. And very few people understand that the work that they do, in my opinion, is literally heroic, because it's saving lives. It's getting other incarcerated people to believe in something other than the path that led them to prison in the first place. And so being laid off and going through the large closure was devastating for my students and obviously all the staff who were either laid off like myself or displaced throughout Washington State. But I eventually saw the opportunity in that and having the time to develop this nonprofit and to empower tutors coming out of correction spaces who are invisible to the world, whose skills are not recognized by the labor market, and to recognize that, here's an opportunity for them to continue tutoring and actually make living wage, going rates for private tutoring. I refuse to pay a tutor less than $30 an hour, whether that's online or in-person tutoring. And so we're just at our infancy. We're just starting to gain momentum. And so we're excited to be on this show to reach more people, to raise awareness about our cause. But those are the sort of the twofold mission of the organization: to bring awareness and real pay to folks whose work is worth every dollar, and to accommodate students who need the one-on-one supports and need tutors to come to them to provide that.
Tell me more about the instruction you provide. So you work online as well as in person, right?
Yeah, I'll pass this to Tim in a second. But in a nutshell, we do GED tutoring. We also provide math tutoring to high school students. Tim is working with a student right now who wanted help with computer literacy. I do have another tutor who's not here today who can really help with English language arts instruction. And I personally can take on students who need English as a second language or financial literacy. We are completely set up to tutor online and in person, but I'll hand it to Tim and then he can speak more to what that looks like from his end.
From my end, basically the process really is just people reach out to Lauren either through the website or the channels that she has created. Lauren will reach out to me. We set up a meeting. I meet with the potential student and try to just get a feel for them, see if it's going to be a good fit. I like to get to learn and get to know people's individual learning styles, because there's a broad spectrum of ways that, people learn. And that's really important, especially in a tutoring setting. I also, try to get a feel for personalities and other potential barriers, whether it be, just like negative self-worth or, doubts, things like that. And then I also like to try to give my students a little kind of preview of the type of person that I am. So hopefully, one, they can feel more comfortable with me, because obviously being formerly incarcerated, there is potentially a twinge, or for lack of a better word. I haven't actually experienced that yet, but it's always good to err on the side of safety. And then once that happens, if the tutoring sessions are set up to be online, we just get together at a predefined meetup time over Zoom, and we take it from there. If it's in person, I tend to usually meet people at a library, just because libraries have Wi-Fi, they've got quiet rooms. And it's just, I prefer that kind of it also feels academic because it's a library. That's basically the long and short of it from my end.
This is my conversation with Chris Randon, Tim Tipton, and Lauren Zavrell with the Rebel Academy. We'll hear more in a moment. You're listening to Prison Pipeline. I'm your host, Doug McVeigh. Could you speak more to the mentoring aspect?
I wrote in my book last year that I published about how to teach in prison, that roughly 80% of my job on average, 80% of my job was just trying to get guys, and it was all guys in prison, but men and women on campuses, to believe that they were capable. And so that sort of falls into the mentoring piece. I don't know how Chris and Tim would break down their breakdown of mentoring versus actually tutoring hard skills like math. But in my experience, it's been about 80% soft skills, 20% hard skills. Once they've got the soft skills, like, okay, I believe I can do this. I'm motivated to do this. I trust you, teacher, that I can do this. Then the work got easy. Then the math gets easy. When you move up to the college level, which I have also taught, that ratio flip-flops. It becomes about 20% soft skills, 80% actual academic instruction. But Chris and Tim, let you guys weigh in on your experience with that.
So in my experience, I would say Lauren is that's pretty accurate. I would say it is about an 80%, 20% split for people who are currently incarcerated. And I believe that's for a reason. I believe that the choices that people like myself and other people that I did time with, the choices that they made that got them into prison have at that moment and, you know, before then, it affects their self-esteem and their self-worth. And there's a lot of self-doubt and just, I mean, you got to understand, a lot of these guys that I tutored literally could barely read. And like, nobody had told them they could do anything positive in their life. They've always been, you know, on the outskirts, on the fringes of society, you know. A lot of them had addictions and things. That's very isolating for anybody. Lots of people with learning disabilities that were undiagnosed. And so now they just feel like they're stupid because nobody had the compassion or wanted to spend the time figuring out first what was going on in their lives. Which that for me is a large part of the mentoring aspect. It's like, I want to get to know you as a person, especially if I'm doing time with you, because the more I know about you, the safer I'm going to feel around you, or the safer I'm going to be able to be myself, because I know how to act around you, you know, if you're not a safe person. So there's that. And then, yeah, it's almost like breaking down a wall, like a brick wall. And it's a brick by brick process. But once that wall's gone, once, you know, you get a few small wins under their belt, then it really becomes like a snowball effect. And then, like Lauren was saying, it's not about, can they do it? It's about, so where's the next, you know, set of tools that I can use? Like, when's the, at large, Lauren would use GED packets and stuff. I'd have some of my students be like, oh, when can I get the next packet? Or, you know, when can I do this next thing? Or when's the next time we take this test? And like, you know, I'm ready for it. And that for me was like the most powerful and the most rewarding part of my work, is watching guys who, you know, on the yard, they're tough. They're super tough. You know, they have that bravado in that show, because you have to act like that while you're incarcerated. But to be like so scared and so just like not thinking that you can do it, to change from that into somebody who is confident now, has like, knows that they can accomplish these things. And then that translates, especially when people release and things like that, that self-confidence and that courage and the knowledge that they not only achieve something they thought they couldn't while they were incarcerated, now they can achieve things that they thought they couldn't while they were out. And that's a lot of the point of this work is, you know, especially with the Rebel Academy, if we can catch people that are just getting out, right, let's get them those small wins quick before their past life catches up with them. Because if you don't have something that is like fundamentally changes your outlook on yourself and on the rest of the world, then it's very unlikely that you're going to do anything different than you always have. I went to prison twice before I figured it out. And the reason I went back the second time is because nothing really had changed in my perception of myself and the perception I had of my abilities. Now I know I can do anything. I'm literally less than a year away from a bachelor's degree in computer science, with a minor in math. I'm starting my own software development company, and I am doing some pretty, pretty major things, at least in my opinion, major for somebody who, you know, has been incarcerated two separate times, not even counting all the times I've been in and out of county jails. But so that kind of success in my trajectory, you know, it can be anybody's trajectory. And that's the goal, at least my personal goal. And I know that's the goal of Rebel Academy too, is it doesn't have to be formerly incarcerated people. It could be anybody who doesn't think that they have the ability to be successful, and changing that. And I think that, to circle back to the mentor aspect of it, I think that's a big part, is you know, mentoring as you tutor, because the mental barriers are the hardest ones. Like, anybody can learn to do math. It just takes practice and, you know, patience and things like that. Anybody can do that, right? But it's learning how to trust yourself enough and learning that you are worth it and that you are worthy of success and that you can be successful, regardless of what anybody else says or what anybody else thinks or any of your past experiences or any of your past decisions. Like, that's the hard part. So I think that's why the mentoring aspect of it is so important. And I think that's why Chris and myself were so successful, because of our abilities to relate to people, and because we're both compassionate and actually care about, you know, our fellow man. So on that note, I'm going to let Chris finish it up there.
That's going to be hard to follow. I will say this, like, that's probably, like, man, that's hard to follow. He said it, like, almost brought a tear to my eye, just the memories, like, just thinking back to guys who would come in and be like, I don't want to do this. I can't do this. It's like, hey, bro, that's multiplication. Like, we're not that high yet, bud. I can't do that, bro. And then, like, we're talking weeks later, eating quadratic equations for lunch. You know what I mean? Like, run that. You know what I mean? So, yeah. And that's all to mentorship. You know what I'm saying? Me and Tim didn't get a chance, unfortunately, to teach at the same time, because I could only imagine with our powers combined what we could have did. But I definitely had the privilege of being able to teach guys that I only could teach because I could relate to them. I only could teach because of the way I carried myself in the classroom and out of the classroom. And they used that. Like, this wasn't a game. I wasn't faking. I didn't go in there and I go, okay, guys, today we're going to do this math and it's going to be all good. And then go back to the unit and be like, where's the weed at? You know what I mean? Like, I lived it. I would help them in class, whatever we need to do. Do the packet, bro. Get it done. You got it. Just follow the equations. You'll get there. And then we go back to the unit, and when they ask you for help, I got you. Yeah, like, very, very inconvenient right now, but I got you, because I want you to succeed. And that's really what we all need. I don't know if Lauren's going to remember this, but years ago, I had told her, I was like, man, you know, at the other institutions I was at, you know, all the vocational programs, the guys who really succeeded, they were white dudes. And that's, I mean, no offense to white guys, you know what I mean? But the black guys, my people, they didn't usually succeed that far into the vocational stuff without a lot of help, because there wasn't really, very few and far between, there wasn't like a lot of pushing that around us. And so once I learned it, literally under the gun, because I just got assigned a job, once I learned it, you know, they were able to look at me and be like, oh, you can do it? Like, yeah, bro, I can do it. All right, well, teach me this. And then I would teach them. And then that snowballed into really every race. So by the time I got to Larch and I was working with her, it was the same thing. It just started over again. You know what I mean? I feel like, as far as Rebel Academy, mentorship is just the name of the game. Like, we all have to be taught. You don't know what you don't know. You can't grow and learn new skills through osmosis. Like, I can stand next to Tim for as long as I want to stand next to Tim. I am not going to know how to program a computer. You know what I mean? But I also know that, like he said, because of my experience, I know I can do anything. So if I hang out with Tim long enough and pay attention, I'll learn how to program a computer. And I want to make sure that guys, I wanted to always make sure that the guys around me knew that, like, yeah, you can't do it yet, but if you put even the, I mean, this is math. It's thousands of years old, bro. It don't change. Minimal effort, you'll learn this. And then when you get your GED, if you choose to forget it, cool, but you learned it. So don't say you can't. And that was a lot of the barriers, was just guys unwilling to believe that they could do it straight up. Like Tim said, like, you know, a lot of guys really didn't speak that great of English. And I don't mean like foreign didn't speak English. I mean like born in America, speak one language and don't speak it very good, speak English. Now they got to pass this English test. We're talking about math, but that English was the language arc was a close second. I watch guys crumble. Like, oh, bro, the math was so easier. Like, didn't you say you couldn't multiply? You know what I mean? And that's just how it would change. I'll wrap this up by just saying this. Like, my mentor, whether they know it or not, has, and for the longest time now, been Lauren. You know what I mean? Like, it's hard for me to explain the switch from vocational to academic, because when I was TAing vocational, I knew I can go home and rely on these skills and get a job. And then I met her and they just made me a TA. Like, I feel like I was, the first couple of quarters, I was doing the packet with the students. Like, yeah, let me get back to you on that, bro. And then after a while, it just became second nature. And that opened up an entire world to me. Like, okay, well, yeah, maybe I don't have to do backbreaking labor. Maybe I can do something with my brain. Because I've always been the smart black guy in the room, which, for the record, is frowned upon in prison. Nobody wants to see this. Like, oh, the smart dude over there? Like, oh, thanks, bud. You know what I mean? But I was able to really transition and, you know, do what I'm doing now, which isn't really that physical. It's a lot of people skills, putting stuff together, making things work. But I would have never even had this option. You know what I mean? And if there's anything I get out of this long-winded statement for anybody listening, for the record, anything you do with your mind is always going to pay you better than what you do with your body. Just throw that out there. So, yeah.
And just to capture, in my opinion, what Chris is saying is the difference between what he got from the academic exposure versus the voc ed. There's nothing wrong with voc ed. Voc ed is wonderful. Those programs reduce recidivism like crazy. That's a statistic that is not debatable. Vocational education is more stable than a lot of other professions, all the things. Right. But what we tried to do through the tutors, and what I tried to empower tutors to understand for themselves, is that you have a choice. You don't have to get out and be a plumber. You don't have to get out and sell drugs. You don't have to get out and do anything that the system has designed for you, right? Because the system has a plan for you. It expects you to fail if you're incarcerated. It expects you to go back to prison. And what I tried to instill via the tutors, but also the tutors internalized this too on their journeys, the 37 that we certified over the years, internalized this, that you have a choice. And that can be scary and empowering at the same time, because if you end up back here, you know it's because you. And when you make it and you succeed and become somebody, that's also because you.
That was my conversation with Chris Randon, Tim Tipton, and Lauren Zavrell about The Rebel Academy. They're on the web at therebelacademy.org. And for now, that's it. Thank you for joining us. You've been listening to Prison Pipeline. I've been your host, Doug McVeigh. Find this and other installments of Prison Pipeline on the web at kboo.fm/prisonpipeline. You'll also find a link there to subscribe to the Prison Pipeline podcast. Join us again next week for another edition of Prison Pipeline. For now, this is Doug McVeigh saying so long. So long!